On this episode of the Flophouse, guess who lives next door?
Some sort of boy?
And a MILF.
To each other. In the boy next door to the MILF.
Thanks, guys. Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
What's up, Dan McCoy? I'm Stuart Wellington.
Hey guys, I'm Elliot Kalin, and I'm feeling pretty sleepy, so watch out.
All of us are here and tired.
Okay. Yes.
So if we were one of the seven dwarves, we'd be Doc.
What? Surprise.
He was a narcoleptic. Sleepy. Actually had medication that he took to keep himself awake.
And yeah. He was the only one who was actually a doctor. Weird, huh?
Strange.
Greenland, Iceland scenario.
Yep, Sleepy was the doctor and Doc was the sleepy guy. Meanwhile, Dopey was pretty grumpy and Grumpy kind of a dope.
Friendship Bear? Not that friendly.
Wait.
Ellaroo was an elephant and a kangaroo. What's that all about?
What's that, a Wuzzle?
Yeah, Wuzzle. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Friendship Bear was that serial killer?
Half wolf, yep. Half muzzle.
Half muzzle? Yeah. Half Wolfgang Peterson? Half guzzle.
Yeah. So tonight, we...
What do we do on this podcast, yeah, Dan?
Hold on. Re-rack.
Let's rewind that.
This is a show where we watch a bad movie and then we talk about it. Like yeah. Three friends squawking in your ears.
Yep.
Or three chickens clucking a yard around the farmyard.
A bad movie that they watched. Yeah. They snuck into because they're chickens. They didn't pay because they're chickens.
Well, they tried to pay, but the theater wouldn't take kernels of corn.
Yeah.
That is Gonzo's favorite movie theater to go to.
Because it's full of chicks.
He loves chickens.
Oh, he loves chickens. He has
whatever one has chickens
in. Yeah, because he has sex with them.
Yeah.
I like how you asked me almost like I had a like hot inside tip. Like I'm the guy from TMZ telling you where to find Gonzo in a movie theater.
Yeah, I got exclusive footage of Gonzo on a date at the movies.
A date with Camilla.
Parker Bowles.
The chicken version.
So for those of you listening at home, my character is wearing jeans. My hair is tousled handsomely. Okay. I'm smiling.
Yeah. Yep. Describe yourself as having handsomely tousled hair.
But he does. Take a look at it, Dan.
I'm wearing a hoodie.
All right.
Now
it smells like popcorn.
If I could describe my character from the waist down, it's all tentacles. From the waist up, it's like that tree monster from that old Saturday morning cartoon where it was the people fighting the monsters. Groot. Yeah, no, it's not Groot. It was like the humanoid, subhumanoids or something like that. And my head looks like George Clooney in his prime,
Except
all of my hair is worms.
And if I could describe myself, I'm handsomer and cooler than you assholes think. But in your head, I'm going to be some boring, bland guy.
And in front of me, where my eyes see you.
Oh, boy.
You just got lumped into asshole territory.
Yeah.
Uncharted.
Everybody but Dan.
And it just says on the map, a big blank area labeled, here be assholes.
So
with that picture fresh in your mind,
yeah.
Now imagine us watching a movie.
And what movie did we watch, which we will now talk about, Daniel?
We watched The Boy Next Door.
We watched The Boy Next Door?
Yeah, we peeped on him.
We know we were babysitting?
We spied on him. Like Jennifer Lopez did in the movie The Boy Next Door.
Oh, starring Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. J-Lo.
Playing in...
Yep, J-E-L-L-O. It's just not dessert without J-Lo. The gelatin treat that was also in the movie Geely, a.k.a. Jell-O.
Jell-O is pretty jiggly.
J-Lo is Jell-O in G-Lo.
You can never have enough J-Lo.
There's always room for J-Lo.
That J-Lo was out of sight. U-turn.
I forgot she was in U-turn. Yeah. So, yes, the boy next door.
What do you want to know about it?
What about it? Well, Dan, this is a
erotic thriller.
This is a
guess.
Speaking of erotic thrillers,
that's not where I was going.
The movie we watched,
Consequence.
Night Eyes 4. So,
Strip to Kill.
Animal Instincts.
Sexual Response.
Yep.
Sexual Response. I'm an erotic thriller. It's called Boobs Half in Shadow.
It's called Strip Kill 4, Revenge of the Strip Killer.
It's called
Deadly Intentions.
It's called Woman Who Changes Her Underwear in Front of an Open Window, the movie.
It's called Thong Stab, the movie.
Thong Stab? Yep. Something that a caveman yells at you as when he lunges with his obsidian axe. Yeah. So I was not going to say erotic thriller before, although it was my favorite genre of movie when I was 13, when I learned the code in the TV guide, which is if the movie's listed as having nudity, that's a waste of your time. But if it's listed as having sexual situations, there's going to be a lot of nudity in that. And if it stars one of the two Shannons, Worry or Tweed, then you are off to the races, my friend.
Yeah.
If it has the words indecent, instinct, animal, obsession, or private, basic, personal, or erotic, then you're in the title, then you're doing okay.
So that's a recipe for an hour to an hour and a half of you watching this movie in the dark, checking over your shoulder to make sure nobody comes in through the door.
Exactly. Make sure my parents are not standing there.
Come down the basement. Now that, holding a giant cake that says first jack off.
With a penis-shaped candle. Then what a weird civilization this would be if we celebrated a boy's first masturbating with a penis-shaped cake.
Yeah.
Today you are not a man, but you are on your way to having a misunderstanding of what it's like to be a man.
That's the world I want to live in.
Well, be the change you want to be. You want to see, Dan? So
I mean, I don't have any children of my own. I feel like if I
there's a reason for that.
A random kid, it would be even.
You just walk up to a 13-year-old. You're like, you look like you're jerking it. Here, take this cake.
Some boy next door.
Yeah.
Speaking of the boy next door, it is a three-peat return for the director of the movie, Rob Cohen, who has previously directed two other Flophouse movies: Stealth, the first ever Flophouse movie.
The first ever Flophouse movie.
And
the movie that was so great, we had to create this great Flopcast that goes on forever, and it's the rest of my life, I suppose.
And also Alex Cross, starring Tyler Perry as Alex Cross in Alex Cross.
Don't count Alex Cross out of this one.
Mm-hmm. Cross him off the list of Alex's.
Yeah. Cross.
So, Dan, was it clear from the way this movie was made that it was from the producer of Monster Squad?
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of
being
in a house in the suburbs.
Fair, okay.
That's like the Monster Squad.
Yep, that's exactly like there Monster was Squad.
Less Dracula.
On a scale of zero to Dracula, it gets a zero.
Yeah.
Should we talk about what this movie's about?
I do remember Monster Squad features a great scene of guys peeping on a girl, and this movie kind of does that.
It had some peeping.
Yeah, but it was a lady peeping on a man for once. Once, am I right, guys? Turn it around. Turn the table.
I can't tell.
Ladies can peep too.
I can't tell if you're being a feminist, or you're telling all the ladies out there they should be peeping at you because you're
Take
a piece
Andrew.
Of meat too. Damn it.
Yeah. Come on.
Yep. Is that why when
what
you
am
go,
I chopped liver?
Yeah. When you go to the beach to show off
good
your
gander.
When you go to the beach to show off your body, you put on some mirror shades so women have their gaze reflected back at them, and they're turned to stone.
Is he at Medusa Beach? Not a great beach.
That was a really good 1980s Greek sex comedy. Medusa Beach.
Yeah, she had a bikini and all her snakes had swim caps on them.
Speaking of Greek sex comedies,
they mentioned the Iliad in this.
And the star of My Big Fat Greek Wedding's in this, too.
Now I kind of want to see him.
The guy from
John Corbett. Wasn't he in the Fat Wedding movie? Yeah.
The Greek Wedding. He was in the Sex and the City, and he was in the Northern Exposure.
But he doesn't even have the starring role in this, so I don't know why we're talking about him. Although I do want to see a movie now called Bikini Iliad, where it's just like the Iliad, but it's kind of like a bikini comedy. Here's another tip for the 13-year-olds listening to this podcast and then going to watch HBO in the year 1995. If it's got bikini in the title, also a good bet.
Yeah.
You'll see it on HBO with the nudity and on USA Up All Night without the nudity. And you know what? In some ways, it's going to be more fun on USA Up All Night.
And you might see the word school in that title and you'd think, ugh, school, that sucks. But there's a decent chance that school is going to feature nudity.
Yeah. Yes.
Because the only thing is the only thing these students are learning about is boobs, I mean, and they're all getting double D's.
Particularly if it's a bikini school or it's Virgin Academy or
Virgin Academy.
Well, I think that was the name of an actual movie.
I'm not familiar with that one.
You know, I mean, like, you
I'm
know,
glad you, an actual me, movie accredited.
Let me yep.
from the Movie Guild.
Let me clue you into dramatic irony. A lot of people at Virgin Academy, not virgins.
Is that dramatic irony? It sounds like a mistitled film.
You know, I mean, it's just, you know, that's the twist. They're,
sure.
Yeah.
They're looking to lose
that's
their virginity.
The big twist.
That's Shyamalan's big reveal at the end of Virgin Academy.
Yeah, is that they're not virgins. anyway, let's talk about what happened in The Boy Next Door, the movie we watched.
I had lost my maidenhead all along, they say. Anyway, go on.
A little overly they've been focusing too much on drama class.
No, they shout it to the heavens. The movie is the story of one Claire Peterson, played by Jennifer Lopez, or J-Lo, as she's also known. She is an English teacher who teaches specifically the classics, as she says over and over again. And she
Which ones?
The Greek classics.
Well, which, like what?
Like the Iliad and the Odyssey.
Okay.
And I guess, like, the greats of Greek theater,
the Oresteia, maybe.
Well, that's Roman, isn't it?
I don't know.
Oh no, I'm thinking of something else. I'm sorry. They know that Oresteia is Greek, I think. Yeah, because it's the story of Orestes.
Sure.
Orestes' development.
Mm-hmm.
This is the story of a family in ancient Greece made of warriors, and they all end up killing each other. This is Orestes' development. But George Michael Orestes walked into work one day with a problem.
That's pretty good.
Anyway. So yeah, you're right. I think the Oresteia would be in there, and probably Roman classics too.
To
she teaches the
Mr. Wendell
here, teaches the Aeneid.
Just couldn't do it.
Lysistrata,
sure.
The frogs.
Yeah, these are all also ancient texts. Yeah,
I got it, guys.
Yeah.
All
right, keep going.
Keep coming up with more examples in your head, but don't say them out loud.
Like
Claire Peterson. She separated from her husband Garrett because he had an affair.
Garrett Morris.
No. Nope.
He seemed like such a straight shooter, right?
Well, no, he wasn't. He had serious drug problems. And her best friend is the vice principal of the school, Vicky, played by Kristen Chenoweth, who does not sing in this movie. And she has a son. Well, and all this is told to us in about 3.5 minutes at the beginning of the movie. So I was like, this movie is moving pretty fast.
Shot in a variety of locations, including a barn with a giant engine block suspended up in the air.
Yeah, it felt like we were watching I wouldn't have been surprised if a voice had previously on The Boy Next Door and then just showed us all these scenes. But then the movie bogs down hard with the introduction of Noah Sandborn, who is the titular boy next door. Who's
speaking of hard bogs.
What? Yes, that guy is ripped with bogs.
Bog is the hardest. Which is,
I'm going to say, the first bog is the hardest, like the song says.
No.
Well, he's covered in muscle lumps.
Yeah, muscle lumps. It's like the worst cartoon character for kids. He's some kind of super buff cat.
Some kind of protein breakfast cereal.
Called muscle lumps. Are your kids not jacked enough? Try muscle lumps.
With all goes back to jacking around here.
I meant jacked like – anyway, forget it. So here – so Noah lives next door with his uncle, granddad. He lives with an old man played by the police chief from Eagle Heart who, as we first see, in a motorized wheelchair which is always moving forward, even when it seems like there is no more room for him to continue moving forward.
Yeah, he's moving forward, then there's a cut, and he seems to have jumped backwards, and then he moves forward over the same distance.
It's a continuity error that would have been hilarious if they just kept going with
it. That's to indicate that the viewer has taken a – step back cautiously.
Now, Noah enters the picture in dramatic fashion. There's a problem with the garage door opener, and Jennifer Lopez decides she's going to go with the great strategy of, allow me to stand under the garage door and push it up while you, my 15-year-old son, who is by all accounts a total noodle, will just like pull a rope that pulls it up.
Yeah.
And I've seen enough Final Destination movies to know that is a terrible setup.
Oh, she's getting crushed to
she's
death.
She's getting chopped like, in right, half cleanly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I had a garage door of this type growing up, and...
Braggart.
Jennifer Lopez would not have been crushed beneath the garage door.
She would have been split in two.
Had the guy not come in.
Well, the movie seeks to tell us differently, Dan, because she seems to be in deadly danger until Noah comes in and with his super buff muscle lumps pushes the door up, thus saving her life. So right, well, I guess you the movie.
Guess I, the movie proved me wrong.
Yeah, you owe the movie an apology.
I'm sorry, the boy next door.
Noah is somewhere. I couldn't. What was he like? 19 years old or something?
He said just shy of 20. They put that. They threw that in as early as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but he's also going back to high school because he was an accident of some kind, and he becomes close to Claire and her son Kevin. He talks about how much he loves the Iliad. And starts talking about how important Achilles is to him as a character because he feels his feelings without letting anything get in the way of them. Meanwhile, Garrett, the dad, comes back and takes Kevin on a camping trip, but J-Lo is a no-go for this camp.
Pogo? I don't.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry, you seemed like you needed a rhyme.
No, I appreciate it. And all in this happens.
She's
all.
She's still suspicious that her husband has other. Has other women.
Her husband had a woman on the side in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and when he tells her he has a business trip in San Francisco, oh boy, is she not happy. Mm-hmm. And her friend Vicky keeps telling her, hey, he's bad news, kick him to the curb, yeah. girlfriend, you know.
He's going up mm-hmm. there to fuck Catraz. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep. Yep, that's what it is. Yep.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Some sort of sex prison. Again, if, yeah. a title, if you saw it in the TV guide, set up a tape.
He's going to go to the Hate Fuckbury District.
Not even Hate Assbury?
Okay, yeah. I don't know, Assbury sounds like...
Well, like
I don't
poop?
Careful what that sounds like.
Okay, then, well...
Pardon me.
What about the
I'm recovering from a cold, listeners?
Let's just go with the Astro District. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Instead okay. of Castro.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, it makes it sound like space, but
oh God. Okay, he's having space sex with his mistress. So
his mistress, district. Who, according to an email, smells like cookies. That matters because cookies is regularly referred to in.
This movie
as a euphemism.
This movie is under the mistaken assumption that people find cookies unbearably erotic, that there is no more erotic food or object than a chocolate chip cookie. Now, I love chocolate chip cookies. I'll just sure. say it. I'm not proud. I'll eat them all the time. There's never a sexual element to it, you know? I'm not putting on airs here. I'll eat a yep. Chips Ahoy just like your average Joe six pack.
You moonlighted
working down
your penis all over a Chips Ahoy like no man.
This is where the misconception comes
Hold
in.
On.
My dealings with the Chips Ahoy are entirely a mouth, stomach, anus based relationship. And the anus is purely for the release of whatever waste of the
right.
cookie I don't want.
It's not. Gratification.
Not at all. There's no sexual aspect whatsoever.
Yeah, whatever nutrients your body doesn't use out of a chocolate chip cookie.
Just expel them. That's what I say. Why hold on to them? Why be a cookie miser? Just get rid of them, you know?
Yeah, squirt it out of some kind of like from owl pellet sort of thing.
Just put it, yeah, get it out in an owl pellet. I mean, owls regurgitate their pellets, so that's a little different. And then just like bury it in the garden for fertilizer, you know?
Yeah.
And you get a cookie tree. That's how it works, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Perhaps I've said too much. There's no sexual element to cookies. But anyway, but this movie thinks there is. So she – this all happens in one night that Claire, while getting dressed, I guess,
mm-hmm.
sees – and by this point, Noah has – the boy next door has already been a little saucy with her. But in an innocent boys just trying to flatter the lady kind of way. Mm-hmm. And he has also as
tell her how sexy she is.
Yeah, and I think by this point he has also done the famous moment that was on the internets everywhere of giving her a first edition of the Iliad.
Whoa.
As a gift. Now here's what may surprise you about it. The first edition is a hardcover book, not a scroll, and is in English and not ancient Greek.
Yeah, I mean like we don't I mean like is it a first edition of a certain
It
translation?
Could be of a certain printing. But it is clearly
I mean, I would imagine if it was like
it's
the first edition
super
the,
dumb.
Like if it was the Fagles translation, that would make sense because that's probably what they're teaching in that class.
Or the Squagles translation.
Who's that?
It's a bagel, but it's square. And it translated the Iliad. But it's not as dumb as the internet makes out to seem, but it's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Even if she just put in like a first edition of the da-da-da printing or a first edition of the da-da-da translation, but instead she just says first edition and you're left to think, is the movie so dumb that it thinks this is a first edition of the Iliad, or does it think
Homer published it through like Random House?
Or does it think I'm so dumb that this is a first edition?
Now, is the movie trying to tell us that it's crazy that a teenager is into the Iliad or that like a hunky teenager is into the Iliad? Because like, I was way into that Greek myth bullshit when I was like a kid. It was
me too. It's all monsters.
Yeah, way before I was
back when you were a chunk.
Yeah, when I was in. Yeah, I refer to it as my larval stage.
That's the name of your new your bio, from chunk to hunk, with a pit stop at lunk.
Yep, I think Chris Pratt's already taken.
This all happens. What happens in one night is one. Claire is trying on shoes and accidentally is in her pajamas. So I thought she was going to bed, and she peeps through the window and sees Noah taking off his clothes and catches sight of his butt.
Yeah, this is where the female gaze I was talking about comes into play.
There's a lot more of
she totally takes a peep at his taut ass.
She becomes the
taut ass.
And I don't like it. And he becomes the object for her gaze, except. Except that then he turns it around because he knows she's seen him and he likes it. Cut to, she's walking to a double date with her friend Vicky, and we were like, is this the same night?
Friend/coworker.
Slash, she's her superior at work, I assume, if she's a teacher and Vicky's the vice principal.
Restaurant or something?
They're at a Japanese restaurant where they're eating soup even though they haven't ordered yet.
That's a fancy place.
Yeah. Or it's unfancy and they just sat down at a table that hadn't been cleared yet and started eating the soup that was already there. They had a double date, and the guy she's being matched up with is a total jerk. Doesn't believe the classics are worthwhile and leers at a waitress's boobs when he's on a date with J-Lo.
Maybe he was just so hungry because they haven't ordered yet, and he's trying to get that waitress's attention.
It's like, oh man, looks like two giant dumplings. Could really go over that right now.
Yeah. Two giant dumplings, cookies, it's all food stuff around
here. It's all foods. So she storms out of the date and goes home, is having a glass of wine when Noah calls and says, hey, I tried to cook a chicken, it didn't work out, come over and cook this chicken with me.
That's what women love.
Hey, cook for me.
Let's fix this.
Come over to my house and cook. Come over to my house in the rain and cook for me.
Yeah, like an entire bird. That's not a short cooking process.
No. But he's not a short man.
It's not like they're going to spatchcock it.
It takes a while.
Yeah.
It's not a hard cooking process. I'll say this.
No, that's not what I was
saying.
You
roast a chicken, you just basically toss it in the oven.
Toss it in your Kenny Rogers roaster and it pops out.
I mean, Kenny Rogers roasters was the roaster was the chicken, not the oven.
The technology?
No, because they were just using ovens and like rotisseries.
So what's he been spending all his money on? Chickens and not technology?
He's a gambler.
It's true. He said, I'll patent the chicken. And unfortunately, millions of dollars in litigation later, he found you couldn't patent chickens because they predate human civilization.
Yeah. And Gaza came in and he was like,
"My
wife! You killed my wife!"
Oh, but then they worked things out. Kenny Rogers became would arrange for Gonzo to have intimate affairs with different chickens.
So did we already miss?
That's right. Kenny Rogers is a Muppet chicken pimp. So
you take that to the bank.
I don't know what, and the bank will say, "Sir, this is not money. This is some kind of dumb joke."
For goods or services.
This ludicrous situation is not currency, nor is it legal tender backed by any government, let alone gold, a precious metal.
It'd be like, but can I just get one of those suckers? Sure, sir. They're free for everyone.
Suckers. Are you? I know you're from Illinois. Did you grow up in like the 50s?
I don't know. What do you want? A lollipop?
Yeah.
Is that what you want?
Let's call it by its name. Lollipop. A sucker.
So at this point,
a sucker is born every minute. If you only made one lollipop a minute, your business would go out of business. The factory output is way too low.
Yeah. You know,
But you're charging $20 for one of these suckers.
Oh, yeah. They're really good.
They're like Chupa Chups times 10.
And when you bite them, there's a Tootsie Roll inside.
Oh, no kidding. So at this point in the movie, she's already thought about the young man and even like picked up a half-eaten cookie and sniffed it and then put it back down.
hoping that there was a trace of him on it.
Yeah.
So he calls her over to help him cook a chicken. They do. They eat it. Mm-hmm. And he starts flattering the hell out of her.
Yeah.
Things go a little too far.
It's called a full court press.
They make the beast with two backs.
In that he presses himself against her while pressing her against a door jam.
Mm-hmm.
And they're door jamming. And she keeps saying, no, no, we can't do this. It's wrong. But his lips and his hands quickly have her out of her clothes and just in her underpants. And then he shows that even if he's pushing the boundaries, because she said no, and that's when a man should stop, that he is a very generous rapist in that he uses both his hands and mouth to pleasure her before he is pleasured.
Like a classic high school kid.
You know, just like any 19-year-old man, he makes sure to give the girl he's with, I assume, two orgasms before they get to the sex.
Probably, yeah, like six before they get to the sex.
Yeah. She was begging him, please, no more. We've had enough. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But no, he just kept going.
Yeah.
They call him O-Man.
What?
He's a superhero with the power to be a generous lover.
Okay. Nice.
So she wakes up in his house, and she is not happy about it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, what's the problem?
She was drunk on chicken.
Yeah, some coffee.
He brings her coffee in his underpants, and she's like, no, I have to go. And he gets super mad and punches a wall.
I mean, I'll be honest. Up until the point he punches her wall, he's being pretty nice.
That's true. I mean, he did kind of pressure her. He seduced her. But then he brings her coffee the next morning. And so you're saying it's her fault is what you're saying.
I'm not saying it's her fault. I'm just saying that, like, I agree with Stuart that, like, the movie has her freaking out about it, like, earlier than his behavior would warrant the, like, total freak out. I know that he's, like, a young guy, but, like, he looks so much older than he's supposed to be in the
and
movie.
And he is legally an adult if he's almost 20,
like
you said.
Like,
she was,
Jax?
Like, into,
that
like,
movie
she was,
with
like,
Robin Williams?
Yeah, he's actually a 5-year-old, but he ages 4 times too fast.
I mean, he turns out to be a total creepazoid. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah,
more
yeah.
than creepazoid, he turns out to
no
be a
movie.
Sociopath
there's
or
no
psychopath.
Movie if he doesn't, but
so she's like, oh, and he's like, hey, what's the matter? Mm-hmm. But she runs off and
Stumptown, the best coffee.
This is I hand ground this from the beans. You know where these beans came from? A civet's small intestine. That's right. These are civet coffee beans.
Cat shit coffee?
Yeah.
I drank a beer made out of that one time.
How was it?
It was pretty good.
Could you really take
– got me drunk.
Okay, mission accomplished then.
I feel like that isn't – that's the lowest threshold for any alcoholic beverage.
I've heard that the popularity of cat shit coffee is
It's driving up the cost of cat poop.
Well, no, it's actually – it's like – it's fucking up the quality of that ingredient because those like weird weasels or whatever
called civets.
Yeah, those civets. The coffee was good because they would pick the best berries or whatever to eat, but now they're just being like force fed whatever berries.
Just being fed like Lucky Charms.
Yes, and they're shitting out. They're shitting out delicious coffee. You pull on their tail and coffee squirts out.
It's how it works. Mm-hmm. Cut out the middleman. Just drink the poop. okay, so things go from bad to worse when Noah joins Claire's class after hacking into her computer and forging an email requesting that he be moved to the class. But he comes in super enthusiastic about the subject. He's quoting stuff from the Iliad, I assume. I don't really remember the Iliad text that well. But he should be like the best student in the class. If anything, he deserves to be rewarded with sex from the teacher for knowing the material before he gets to class. He also is in the gym helping her son Kevin box. Now, at this point, he's gotten really good with her son Kevin. He's taught him how to change the alternator on a truck. He took him to a hardware store and helped him get in good with the girl that he has a crush on. The prettiest girl in school, Kevin says. So here he's his, like, boxing coach in the gym.
Yeah,
because
he's some kind of like a father figure.
Yeah, because the high school has a boxing ring. And,
yeah. All the classics are represented.
Mm-hmm.
Greco-Roman wrestling, boxing.
Yeah. The classics.
Teacher molestation.
And Kevin has some kind of asthmatic shock or something like that, and Noah has to stab him with an EpiPen to save his life. He then arranges to send some flowers.
Yeah, Noah seems like a pretty good guy, I gotta say.
Then Claire receives some flowers and assumes they're from her estranged husband, and she calls him and she's like, "Hey, they're beautiful." And he's like, "What are the flowers? What flowers?" Like, he doesn't even take the first hint that he should be like, "Oh, yeah, the flowers I sent you. Yeah."
Stuart's like, "Come on, John Corbett, be cool, man."
Instead, he's like,
"I thought you were a cheater, dude. That's how she caught you, man. You gotta lie better."
He is the dopiest adulterer. And in fact, I would have liked to see a movie about his adventures called The Dopiest Adulterer.
Gene Jones and The Dopiest Adulterer.
It's an odd Disney movie, but I'll go with it.
He can't get his act together. How does he have such a successful extramarital affair? What's going on?
Disney in the 60s was weird.
They were way more open to things. Remember, like, that short Goofy's Love-In?
It's one of those instructional shorts where, like, the narrator is talking about how you have a successful love it, but Goofy cannot get it together.
A group grope. Now that's not a group grope, Goofy. You're just grabbing yourself. And then for some reason half of it is about golf swings.
Yeah.
Sex swings and golf swings. Goofy in the 60s. That's the documentary I'm working on. About those instructional cartoons.
Oh, Goofy.
Which were my favorite Disney cartoons as a kid. Not my favorite cartoons. All my favorite cartoons were Warner Brothers cartoons. I think because there was a premise that had jokes coming out of it, whereas the other Disney cartoons, I was like, I don't buy these characters hanging out with each other. They're all just like making barnyard music and stuff. How many times they have to move a piano?
My favorites were always the one where the guys would drink the gummy berry juice and just go fucking crazy. Oh,
that's that was just called gummy berries.
They would just bounce around here and there and everywhere.
Cartoon.
Yeah, it was all about those guys.
They were fighting a duke for some reason. It was a medieval situation.
Such a weird cartoon. There's nothing about it that's organic to the premise or the name at all. Yeah.
But didn't he want their juice so he could do the same thing?
So he could have the power of bouncing.
So Duke could bounce around.
So he could travel somewhere marginally faster than walking.
Why didn't they just give him some of that juice and then he'd probably leave him alone?
He's a bad guy. I don't know.
Yeah, he's not a good...
What would he do if he could bounce? Something terrible?
He'd terrorize the populace with his bouncing. Who knows? He could just be pillaging with his bouncing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
great bouncing comes great responsibility, Stuart.
That's the gummy bear's motto.
Thanks, Stanley.
Flat Stanley. Now let's fast forward.
Yeah, please.
Noah is – I'm kind of – don't remember the order of all the things Noah does, but he starts getting crazy and obsessive.
He builds a boat.
Yeah,
he collects two of every animal to impress Claire.
He has a conversation with God.
Two of every MILF. So what, is he cloning them?
Every type of MILF. There is.
Every type. Brunettes, blondes, Latinas, Asian.
Yeah.
What other types are there, Stuart?
Yeah, you know.
There's bossy career women, sure. Neglected wives.
Yep, yoga students, joggers,
all of them.
Supermarket shoppers.
Women who are taking some kind of blowjob class.
A woman who needs help with her cable installation.
I don't know why he's getting two of each of them.
Oh, people at pools.
They will not breed with each other.
They'll try, though. Oh, boy, will they try. Can't keep their hands off each other. Because if there's anything that porn has taught me, it's that anytime two women are hanging out, they will have sex with each other.
I mean it's any two people, I think.
I guess, in porn, it's any two people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no television in that universe.
No platonic relationships.
Only one thing to do for entertainment.
Dan, is that the dividing point between our universe and the porn universe? Is the invention of television? You're saying if Philo
T. Farnsworth did not do that, then everyone would be having sex with each other.
If he hadn't invented the cathode ray tube, then
yep.
People would just be having sex for recreation all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing you didn't.
No TV and no STDs equals sex all the time.
Was there an episode of Sliders that covered this?
Remember, there's that episode of Sliders where they went to the universe where all hamburgers are little? They called them sliders. So anyway, Noah is creating a series of stalking incidents. He at the fall fling dance. There's a – or maybe that happens after. I can't remember the order. So basically, a bully tries to beat up Kevin, and Noah slams his head against the locker. He jumps out of nowhere to defend him. It's like Batman was swinging through the halls and slams the kid's head against the locker so many times it fractures his skull, which leads him to get into a fight with the vice principal, and he's expelled. Now, why he wasn't arrested for assaulting a student until his head cracked – the movie never answers. I guess it was because I have it on school grounds, the police have no jurisdiction. I don't know. Maybe the police are on strike, and that's part of the backstory that would have been explained if the movie was longer. I'm not sure.
I'm right now I'm thinking about how excited Jonathan Rhys Davies would be to be in a universe filled with tiny hamburgers.
No, go without me. I don't need to keep jumping around to the other universes. I'll stay on this one.
Amazing.
Indy, my friend.
I can fit so many hamburgers in my mouth.
Finally, I know what it's like to be a giant eating a hamburger.
A giant in a land of hamburger.
There's a dance called the Fall Fling, and Kevin tries to ask the girl at the hardware store out, and she says no, but when Noah walks over, she says, I don't have a date for the Fall Fling. They go, and she, I guess, distracts Kevin and tells Claire that there was a problem in the bathroom, and when she goes over there,
which is her jurisdiction,
as the classics professor, she also plunges the toilet. And when she goes there, the lights are all screwed up, and there's what? It's water or toilet paper all over the floor. And in big letters on the wall, it says, "I fucked Claire Peterson." And Noah walks out, and he's like, "Hey, we can be together." And they argue with each other, and he tries to assault her, and she won't let it happen. The next day, she goes to her classroom and finds it festooned with pictures of herself and Noah having sex. Turned out he recorded the whole incident and then set the printer to infinite copies and put streamers up of it. And it takes her literally forever to clean up all of this stuff while kids are waiting outside.
Slipping around on the paper.
It's like, for every piece of paper she picks up, she drops four.
If this was summer school, there would have been three montages in the middle of this paper cleanup scene.
And if it was a Three Stooges movie, it would have happened roughly the same as it happens here. Except, I guess there'd be more, like, deliberate punches to the face. Then things escalate badly to the point where Garrett is taking Kevin in a sports car ride, in some kind of fast sports car. And Kevin, who has been revved up by Noah to be mad at his dad for abandoning the family.
For being a bad dad, soccer dad?
He doesn't even have the soccer part.
Yeah, he's just the first half of that.
He's just a bad dad.
Cookie dad.
Cookie dad.
Bad dad, cookie dad. Mr. Fields, I think, is who you're talking about. Well, that's why Mrs. Fields still calls herself Mrs., but they split up a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And the Fields kids, they don't talk to their dad, Mr. Fields, the cookie man, anymore.
Yeah.
Incidentally, he found a second career as the cookie man in the Snackwells commercials.
He went off and married that stripper, Strawberry Fields.
Wasn't that one of the Bond girls in the...
I don't know.
Anyway.
She's a stripper now. After she was discarded by James Bond.
Well, this riff is going nowhere. So not because of you, Stuart.
I'm not holding myself.
Look, all of us failed that one. Yeah. In fact, guys, let's pause and let's have a little self-reflection moment here.
Okay, hold on.
I feel like that riff wasn't up to our best. Let's all say one good thing and one bad thing about that riff, Dan.
One good thing, I think it started strong. One bad thing is, like, I felt like I thought I was forcing it.
Okay, Stuart?
I would say one good thing was we said the word cookie a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's just a funny word.
It is delicious, too.
A bad thing is I think Dan was forcing it.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll say a good thing is that it ended so Dan stopped forcing it.
Right.
And the bad thing was that, millions still die of starvation every day around the world.
Yeah,
oh, man, true. He's really sensitive.
Moment of silence for that.
Yeah, let's just have a moment of silence. And go. Done. Okay, moving on. I think you'll find a moment somewhere in the podcast where we were silent. Just edit that in.
Samoan.
Samoan? Find some Samoan and stick him in there.
Humpty Hump. Thanks for remembering Samoans.
He's probably a professional wrestler. He's doing fine.
Yeah.
Find some Samoan and make him into a cookie and we're done. Sell him to the Girl Scouts. What if it turns out the Girl Scouts have been killing actual Samoans to make those cookies?
Is there a way to?
All right. Well, it turns out that he loses the control of the car because it turns out Noah cut the brakes, which actually brings the father and son closer together in that moment of fear. Mm-hmm. And this is when the movie hyper drives into Crazy Town. Vicky convinces Claire to break into Noah's house and delete the files in his computer, which is, of course, in an evidence dungeon papered with pictures of Claire having sex with mm-hmm. him. She finds a file labeled, Claire pictures. And
it's not in the folder Achilles.
Yeah, the folder's called Achilles.
What a normal kid would title it, Spank Bank.
And every – you can deposit that in the Spank Bank. And then take what's left after you use that – after you withdraw that deposit and deposit it in the sperm bank.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to deposit.
What's the interest on that account?
Surprisingly low.
Okay.
There's not a lot of demand for it right now.
Okay.
I mean, it's less interest and more like the sperm sort of slowly die over time. So you're actually decreasing in value.
Do you get what they say for every deposit?
The sperm decreases in value the minute you drive it off the lot.
Yeah.
Now, what I love is that every photo is so clearly titled, like Claire Sleeping 1, Claire Sleeping 2. He went through and he retitled all of the photos and all the files. She deletes it.
Very organized stalker.
But she's almost caught by his uncle, who's back from the hospital. I forgot to say his uncle was in the hospital. I also forgot to mention that she has seen through the window him having sex with the girl Kevin had a crush on. It turns out she was working for him, I guess.
She was Renfielding for
him. In exchange for sex, and she's the only nude girl we see in the entire movie. J-Lo shows a lot of leg, but not a lot of other parts. So, Mr. Skin, put that in your catalog.
We mostly get dude butt. So, ladies?
Yep.
I mean, if that's your thing, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I thought you already inferred that for most ladies, dude butt is their thing.
Did I infer that?
I mean, I don't know. You said it kind of blatantly.
Well, I mean, for people who don't want to rough it the way that a professional butt would, you go to a dude butt. And that's, sure. Just a weekend and you get to experience a little bit and you rope some cattle on a butt. And you get to wear a cowboy hat on a butt and then you leave. You go back to regular life.
Hey, dude butt.
Just like the hit Nickelodeon show, Hey, Dude Butt, which introduced the world to Ben Stiller's future wife. Anyway, moving on.
It was covered by Salute Your Shorts.
Now, that was a very high-level Nickelodeon show butt joke. I give you a lot of points for that. In fact, I think Stuart's the winner of this episode. But things get to go to Crazy Town here because there's an evidence dungeon. Vicky, in trying to help Claire, gets on Noah's bad side, and he hits her over the head with something and kidnaps her. Before murdering her.
Yeah, Kristen Chenoweth died.
Kristen Chenoweth's body is later hurled out of a crawl space or off a high shelf at Jennifer Lopez.
Immediately following a classic cat scare.
Uh-huh. And a classic cat scan. Because you got to know about your health.
What makes it classic? It's just like a black and white. And,
yeah. It hasn't been colorized. Yeah, sure.
Painted on the side of a Grecian urn.
Lopez somehow arranges an appointment with a detective who explains to her and shows her the wreckage of the car crash that killed Noah's dad. Turns out he was a cheater too, and Noah hates cheaters. So Noah
just keeping that car carcass around.
Yeah, the car kiss.
Mm-hmm. That's in it like a giant warehouse.
Well, it was in their museum of random cars from crimes.
Sure, next to Sweet Tooth's van from Twisted Metal. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
The death proof car.
Yeah, the death proof car. Herbie fully loaded. Christine, yeah. The car from The Car. Yeah.
The cars that ate Paris.
Not all of the trucks from Maximum Overdrive, but one of them.
Yeah.
Cars that ate Paris is a weird movie.
Most of them are on the convention circuit right now.
Yeah. That's. So Claire gets stuck with Noah.
How's Wikipedia doing over there?
Wikipedia is not helping me go any faster. So let's cut to the climax. Noah kidnaps Claire, takes her to a barn in the middle of nowhere.
We'd seen earlier.
Was it?
Yeah. They're in the previously on Boy Next Door.
Oh, okay.
Because I clearly remember saying, why are they in a barn?
Yeah.
To set up this barn. Okay. It's Chekhov's rule. If you see a barn in the first act, you're going to see somebody.
This universe, barns exist. Okay. Thank God they showed me a barn earlier in the movie, or else I wouldn't believe it when the barn shows up at the climax.
A barn with an engine block hanging up in the air.
Yeah, because it's a car barn. Mm-hmm. Now, Noah kidnaps Claire. He's also kidnapped her husband and son. The husband has been beaten about the face and neck area and is mm-hmm. chained to something. The son is also chained to a thing. And everybody starts kung fu fighting, you know, but not with kung fu, just with fists and stuff. And Noah is mad that Claire doesn't want to be with him because he genuinely loves her in his own crazy, violent, stupid way. He lights the barn on fire. No, actually, he covers the place in gasoline and then he pulls out a lighter and Claire pushes him, mm-hmm. which causes him to drop the lighter. Kind of the stupidest move she could have made at that point.
It's an easy way to clean up all the evidence of her husband murder.
Yep, it turns into a fight between Noah and her husband. Then she joins in. Then the son joins in. She hits him with a tire iron. Hits Noah, not the son. The husband gets shot and I assume killed. Then Noah gets shot, I think, right? Or no? Anyway, she gets two moments of like, he says something, then she has a quip afterwards. And the first he says, Claire, I trust you. And she says, like, but you shouldn't trust me. And then stabs him in the eye with an EpiPen. Mm-hmm. And they're fighting. And then she takes her thumb and she gouges it further into that same eye in a pretty graphic shot for a movie like this. Then the son and him are fighting and they're grappling over the gun. And I forgot what her second quip is.
Yeah, he's about to shoot somebody else and she's like,
oh, he says, sometimes heroes have to make tough decisions. And she says, you're no hero. And then cuts a chain or something and the engine block falls and crushes him.
It's really important to her that yeah. he knows before he dies that she doesn't like him.
But it might as well be just an anvil falling on him from the sky. Mm-hmm. Like, it is really Looney Tunes-y. It's just like big block of metal falls on him and yeah. crushes him.
He also just enough time to look up and go, oh, shit.
He also recovers from having his eye gouged out pretty quickly. Maybe it's just adrenaline.
When you're a teenager, dude, you get over things.
You bounce back. That's true. Mm-hmm. You heal faster.
Every moment is like an eternity.
And then they're outside with the police and the fire department, who I guess heard the barn on fire, and that's the end of the movie.
And the police are like, there's yeah. only one body in there, all burned up. Who was it, though? Your husband or the other guy? And then, no, I'm just making that up.
No, there was no the end question mark type thing.
Yeah.
It just kind of ends kind of abruptly.
Ends in credits.
Like, they get in the ambulance, so, and the guy's like, hey, I just moved in next door to you. And then he pulls out a chainsaw.
Now, here's the thing. This movie, I think we were all really looking forward to it. It didn't quite live up to the level of dumbness I thought it was going
to
have.
Let's just go to the final judgments. Was it a good, bad movie, a bad, bad movie, or a movie you kind of liked? Elliot, what are you saying?
I think it could have been a good, bad movie. It just, like, didn't go far enough. There were scenes where, like, the sudden brakes cut on the car and they decide that that the best way to deal with that is to drive on the wrong side of the road and almost bump into a lot of things.
Fuck all over the place.
Or a lot of the scene, there were a lot of times when Noah would do like a sexy quip, but it was the kind of stupid, vulgar joke that a real 19-year-old would make, like mm-hmm. when he says, I love your mom's cookies. Or when she says, oh, we had a big thunderstorm. And he goes, oh, well, the husband goes, it was dry where we were camping. And he goes, yeah, well, it got pretty wet around here. Like, they are the dumbest first level innuendo. And, if there was more stuff like that, it would have been great. And by the end, it gets super nuts when she's literally gouging out a man's eye in a burning barn.
Now, if you see a movie titled Super Nuts, you might not want to stay up for it because it could be about cartoon squirrels.
It's true. But it could also be about superpowered testicles.
Or it could be about whether you want soup or nuts.
Sure.
Which one?
Yeah, it's called Soup or Nuts.
It's a documentary. Dissection
of a decision. What place is offering you either soup or nuts? They don't fill the same requirement in a meal. Well,
maybe
it's
like a grandma?
It confused me about the phrase from soup to nuts. Where it's just like, what kind of meal is this that starts with soup and ends in nuts?
Oh, that makes sense. Nuts was like an after-dinner thing for when soup would be your starter.
That's not a dessert, nuts.
In Europe,
a handful of nuts.
In Europe, you ask for dessert and they'll give you a
That's
plate.
That's always
of
your excuse. In Europe,
they'll give you a plate of fruit and cheese for dessert. I mean, that's crazy. Don't even get me started on Persia. It's nothing but like honey flavored bread.
Yes. Anyway, but this is
whole civilizations that barely understand that chocolate exists.
You can have a starter, or you can have a dessert. In this situation, you can have soup or nuts.
Yeah, no main course. It's called unsatisfyings, and it's the dinner that leaves you hungry for more. They always told me, leave your audience hungry for more. And I think my restaurant does that by not feeding them enough.
I agree with Elliot in that I think that this hovers between a good bad movie and a bad movie. Like, it was not as crazy as I was led to believe. It kind of bored me for a large
Judging by the amount of the movie you spent looking at your phone, it bored you for 90% of the time.
Yeah, but you know, you can do worse.
I will say, if you want to see a movie that has a bunch of dumb lines and Jennifer Lopez wears a lot of clingy skirts that show off her butt, this is a movie for you.
Yeah.
Stuart?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's just below a good bad movie. Our male lead was pretty good. And Jennifer Lopez is pretty crazy. But I think they could have played up more like the Forbidden Attraction element.
Mm-hmm. I will say that the sex scenes were steamier than I expected in a movie from nowadays, but it was like you wanted the rest of the movie to feel like seedy and gross in a way that it didn't. Like, mm-hmm. if for a good, good, bad movie, it should have felt like you were like, ew, oh, instead, it wasn't like that.
I agree.
It was PG-13?
It was not. It was rated R.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was a soft R.
It could have been a hard R.
Yeah. I mean, this wasn't like irreversible.
Sure. Okay, well, I don't know if that's your yardstick, but it seems...
For hard R?
I don't even think that's R.
I think it's NC-17, probably.
Mm-hmm.
No cowboys under 17.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
And I'm Dr. Sydney McElroy.
Every Tuesday, we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine, a show about all the dumb, weird, terrible ways that we've tried to fix each other over the years. You know, some light summer listening.
Maybe you want to hear about yogurt enemas, or why we tried to eat mummies for a while, or why drinking cholera diarrhea sounded like a good idea.
That and so much more is waiting for you every Tuesday right here on the Maximum Fun Network with Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
We do have a sponsor for tonight's show. The Flophouse is brought to you in part by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website. Squarespace offers beautiful templates, integration with Google Apps and Getty Images, and a feature called Cover Pages. For a free trial with no credit card required and to start building your website, go to squarespace.com and use the code FLOP.
FLOP.
Yeah, and if you use the code FLOP, you can get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace. Build it beautiful.
Let me tell you, how many times do I have to tell our audience, you need a website. Mm-hmm. Everybody's living on the internet these days,
mm-hmm.
just like they said we would in the social network. Yes. Where are you going to live? Right now you're homeless on the internet. You're just wandering the internet, begging for change, sleeping under digital bridges. Make yourself a home. Squarespace.
You want to impress your grandma that you got this awesome deal? The only way you can do it is by using the code FLOP. And you can show your favorite podcast that you like them.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, buds. But now, to move on to letters from listeners.
Letters, da-da-da-da, running low on time. Here's a quick letters song. Yeah.
I like it.
I won you over.
So
Dan liked my song. Dan finally liked my song. He liked it. Hey, he liked it. Mikey liked it. Life Cereal featuring Dan.
Thanks. So this first letter goes like this. Hey, dudes. I have two things. First, Dan, you're my favorite. I also had a knee problem no one cared about. Second, I've never been on a date.
What a bond.
Or tried dating at all. You fellows seem like experts since you're all happily ? Married. How do you start dating? Your loyal listener, Spencer, last name withheld. How do you start dating?
Well, you find someone you want to go out with and you ask them, hey, you want to go do something?
Yeah, that's the easiest way.
Here's the thing. A lot of people... I know when I was younger, I put way too much thought into dating because I thought you had to put thought into dating. It's a lot better if you don't put – you think about, hey, who's someone I'd like to spend time with and what's the thing I think they would find fun?
Be more of a straight caveman about it, right? Just bonk her on the head, no. Take her back to your pad.
Do not bonk her on your head.
Be a gay caveman. Bonk him on the head and take him back to your pad.
Who cares?
Bonk anyone on the head and take him back. No, but
what if it's Bonk, Dan, from the TurboGrafx-64? TurboGrafx 16.
The shit out of everything. Because that's the only thing that you can do. But
except for those things that hurt you when you bonk them.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people date on the internet. They could do that too.
I'm just saying, like, no, I think you're right in what you're getting at, though, which is to be straightforward. I think you can get a pretty good sense, unless you're a crazy person, and there are plenty of them out there. There are plenty of crazy creeps. I'm not going to say that there aren't crazy creeps out there. I hope you're not one of them. But unless you're one of them, you, I think, have a pretty good idea if someone might be interested in you romantically. And so if you think that there's a possibility, you just say, hey, would you like to go out on a date? And suggest something. And if they say no, then you politely say, all right, thank you. And you stop thinking about them.
And you go and ask somebody else, because there's a lot of fish in the sea. And if you're interested in fish, don't even wait for them to say no. Just take them with you.
Connected and switched on. I've seen you all night. Dan is giving relationship advice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dan
was been a Dr. Drew in another life, or a Dr. Dan, if you will.
I don't know why he'd call himself Dr. Drew. So I hope that helps. The most important thing is find the right person to ask.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I mean,
a bunch of people.
I mean, find someone you're interested in. Don't ask like a stranger at a bus stop that you're not interested, that is not attractive to you.
You shouldn't ask somebody who is secretly in the thrall of an evil dude who's trying to sleep with your mom.
That is a very good tip. Yes.
Yeah.
Because she's only here's the bad thing. She's just using you as a tool to get to your mom. And secondly, you know she's going to be having sex with that much hunkier, much more buff guy, and it's going to make you angry.
And we've already learned he is totally good at satisfying people.
Oh, yeah. He's very generous. Except that's the thing. When the time we see them having sex, she is pleasuring him.
Yeah, but here's a tip.
That's how it works for some
people. Be friendly and engage them as a human, not just as a potential mate. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Treat them as find
a connection.
Unless it's the casual encounters page on Craigslist, in which case, and don't read too much emotion into it, or else you'll be pulled into a web of seduction and desire.
Just boning, just sheer boning.
Yep, bone that fish.
So
use your boning knife.
Moving on. This letter goes like this: Flop Lords, I have once again done your bidding and entered the time stream and traveled to the past to steal the hat. I do this without question.
So this, the mystery's been solved.
I do this without question, for I know too well the punishment for that is gifted to those who question the commands from the golden throne of the Flop Lords. I would, however, like to remind you that this is now the second time you've sent me into the past to steal an old baseball cap. And though you insist that the theft of this item is crucial in, quote, maintaining the time stream, I can't help but notice that when the hat is brought before all three of you, you begin to giggle like schoolgirls. It feels like you're playing some sort of time-space prank, which is, of course, your right to do if you feel like doing so, as the rulers of Earth, formerly Earth. Please do not take...
Yeah, I forgot we changed the name, I guess.
Please do not take that the wrong way and throw me into the pit of the flop cat, or banish me to that island of misery and sand lice, where the brother of Kalen awaits to torment the unclean ones.
It's called Sportsylvania.
With boring sports stories. Anywho... I'm writing you this message from here in the past to you in the year 2035 to ask if I should just stay here and wait for the next time you want this hat stolen, or should I continue to risk death and sanity traveling through what Lord Wellington calls, quote, the time vagina. If I had a vote, which no one does now, I'll hail the Flop Lords. I would like to minimize the amount of time I spent time traveling. It hurts, and while you guys think it's funny, it's starting to affect my ability to steal hats for you. As always... If you command me to travel back to 2035, I will. Do not wish to be sent to one of Lord McCoy's depression tubes. I'll hail the Flop Lords. Jason, last name withheld.
He needs to take his meds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jason, for explaining a mystery that has long dogged Flophouse
now,
listeners.
Now, Jason, normally when one addresses the tripartite throne, the godhead that is the Flop Lords, it should be in the form of a song, but I guess a letter is all right. Mm-hmm. Don't sing a song.
Too late. When you're talking to Flop Lords on the Flop Lord throne, remember your manners, your yes and your ganners. Yanners. Remember to be the best you can be, the best you can be, or we'll throw you in the pit. Okay, Dan, keep going.
This last letter of the night goes a little something like this. As a fan of both sleaze and bad movies, I feel I have to make one small correction to your recent A Talking Cat episode.
Recent?
I've seen a shameful number of David De Cocteau films, which are all horrifying train wrecks. But one thing they are not is gay sleaze or gay softcore porn. In fact, it would be better if they were. Sure, one guy clad in nothing but boxer briefs might spray a hose on five guys also clad only in boxer briefs. But then they'll all awkwardly assert that they're totally heterosexual and talk about how hot the single female character in the movie is, who often appears to be a homeless woman De Cocteau found driving to the set that day. De Cocteau. We were over this last time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's very difficult.
I think it's because De Cocteau is not an actual name.
No, yeah. Whereas Cocteau is a name.
Yeah. Why?
And it's a hit. Tom Cruise movies for babies. Mm-hmm. Cocteau, they can't quite pronounce cocktail, so they call it Cocteau.
Oh, yeah, you're kind of reaching.
Why De Cocteau feels it necessary to insist every character in his movies is heterosexual, even when working for a gay film studio, is a puzzle I've been attempting to solve for years. It's maddening. But I wouldn't want one of your viewers to accidentally watch Two Voodoo Academy, a movie which has neither voodoo nor an academy, and think that they'll see much more than a bunch of guys wandering around in boxer briefs. And as a question, what movies did you think would be exciting?
You just disproved our academy suggestion from earlier, by the way.
What?
Well, you just disproved the earlier comment about how academy or school might be a good idea for watching a softcore porno movie. In this case, academy left.
I think, you know, we don't have wide experience of the gay softcore.
Oh, okay. Genre. I guess Voodoo Academy. Yeah. I don't know.
But he ends his question, his letter asking.
Look, I'm sure it's a rich and vibrant, area of film.
As a question, what movies do you think would be exciting and scandalous, but just turned out to be boring?
Well, The Boy Next Door.
Keep on FLOPing in the USA. Peter, last name withheld. What did I think was going to be scandalous and exciting? And was just.
I feel like there's a lot of those, like, Mondo movies type things where they you think they're going to be, like, super, like, either gross or scary, and then it's a lot of, like, clearly staged footage of things.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of also. I feel like a lot of these, like, purposefully campy movies that are being made these days, like, promise a lot and then just really, like, back off the sleaze.
But they don't have the courage of their lack of convictions, yes. As somebody probably said somewhere about something.
I said it, but I think I was quoting someone else.
Yeah, I'm probably quoting you quoting somebody.
There's a movie that I watched recently called Death Spa that I thought was going to be really good and started out really sleazy with, like,
I've been meaning to watch that.
A scene of, like, a bunch of ladies, like, showering in the spa as, like, it heated up and, like, tiles from the ceramic tiles of the shower started, like, just, like, popping out and, like, attacking the ladies, like, shooting at the ladies.
Some kind of death spa.
But then the movie just took a sharp left turn into, like, what could have been a 1970s, like, TV a detective show where they just, like, went off into, like, the Hollywood Hills and tried to explain what was going on in the death spa. Like, there was some sort of intrigue with some dude that I just lost interest in very quickly. And, I don't know. I mean, just, like, a movie with death spa should be nothing but sleaze, like, front to back, I feel like.
Yeah, somebody's not signing up for death spa and expecting, like, some genuine story craft.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have anything to do?
No, I think the one that I always think of is the Todd Phillips comedy Old School, which, you know, is kind of lauded as a college comedy. I don't know.
I mean, it's funny enough,
but I feel like if none of its characters were as terrible as I kind of wanted them to be, I want, like, it makes all the characters in Animal House seem like monsters.
Yeah, which none they of these. Are.
I mean, they are
which
monsters,
they are, but that's part of what makes it funny.
Yeah,
and I felt like none of the characters in Old School were as terrible as I wanted them to be in that, like, because that's the whole thing about a comedy about guys pretending they're in a fraternity, like guys that are too old pretending they're in a fraternity or setting up a fraternity, is you want them to be actually bad people that want to be bad again, so that you could like live out the like the fantasy of being watching a bunch of old guys be dicks to people.
I think there's a lot of comedy now that presents itself as like edgy or rough comedy. And especially it's stuff where they then release DVDs that are like the unrated version. But then you watch it and you're like, oh, this is not – there's nothing like shocking or funny enough to be shocking or shocking enough to be funny. It's just kind of like people talking about their dicks, you know?
That's what I remember, like I didn't expect anything more out of this movie. But I saw that movie Hall Pass where it was just like this movie is sold on like the premise of like, oh, like these guys are going to get the Hall Pass, and like the comedy is like,
hence the title.
No, I mean like the premise of it is like this titillating premise of like, you know, like what is luring people into the theater is like the comedy of the premise of like these married men like having like this chance to have sex outside of their marriage, you know, and like what's going to happen after that. And the movie itself is so tame in reinforcing like just like the status quo of like, oh, of course, neither of them can bear to do
marriage it. Is great.
You know, and
sex
like,
without love is meaningless.
Exactly.
That kind of stuff.
And like at that point, it's just like, well, like you have literally like I feel like movies like that really like lure people in under this like titillating false pretense and as an excuse to reinforce societal norms.
Yep. Then it holds up a harsh mirror to the audience. This is, what have you done? You should love the person who came to this shitty movie with you.
You wanted this, but it turns out you were wrong.
They're just like, you know, like fucking just go with the fucking premise. Like follow it through, man. Like,
yeah, be like Bad Lieutenant.
Well, like I guess Sucker Punch was kind of like that, where it seemed like it was going to be this crazy, maybe even sleazy movie, but then it was similarly like, you love this stuff, and you're wrong to love it. When it was like, I don't like this stuff, and even if I did, why should I be told that it's wrong to see a fantasy type story, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like movies that act like they're gonna be sleazy, and then they shame you.
Do you blame that on the marketing or the movie itself?
Well, in Sucker Punch's case, that was the movie all the way. But these days, the marketing is so much a part of the movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Trailers for trailers, right?
Yep, I guess so.
Teasers having trailers.
Yep. Yeah. On the other hand, there's a certain level of sleaze that I do not enjoy going to, you know?
No, I'm not making a blanket like argument in favor of sleaze either. I'm just saying that if you're going to do a certain thing, then like you can't like,
know thyself. I think it says in the Iliad,
in the first edition.
Yeah, I don't like the bait and switch on the audience.
You want more of a master bait and switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see no problem with that.
Like, I'll allow it. There's nothing in the rule book that says I can't masturbate.
And thank God, because I've been doing it a lot.
TMI. Trademark Incorporated. Dan McCoy's Masturbation Industries.
So
take it from me. I do it a lot. That's the Dan McCoy promise.
That was some letters, right?
Yeah, and now it's the final segment.
What's
on
that?
Our show.
It's where we advertise Dan McCoy's Masturbation School.
Oh, wow.
It's where the only place where you can earn an MBA, a Masturbation Bachelor's of Arts Anonymous. Okay. It's an MBA.
But art is still involved.
Oh, no, it's very subtle art.
Now this is where we recommend movies that we watched that we actually liked.
Okay.
I'll go first. I watched the Academy Award-winning documentary Citizen 4.
Bikini Academy.
Which
it was a harsh expose of the terrible conditions at bikini academies across America. Many of these girls have to wear one pieces.
Citizen 4.
Sunburn is a real problem.
Tops are constantly falling off.
I'm just going to recommend it. Citizen
Actually,
4.
That's I would love
no,
to see
I'm
a movie that was
about
a fake
nope.
documentary about the problem of bikini tops falling off.
I'm not talking about the movie.
Anyway, Citizen 4. It's not about Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
unprecedented access, and they were filming it as the story was being revealed to the world, right?
Yeah, and whatever your feelings on Edward Snowden, and I think that probably most people...
Well, do you think he's hot or not?
I think most people have complicated feelings about him.
Sexual feelings.
This movie makes... Whether or not you believe what he did was justified, it makes interesting points about what the government is doing in terms of surveillance on its citizens. And it also, like, very early in the movie, like, Edward Snowden himself says, like, the media likes to make a person the story, and I'm afraid of becoming the story. And I think that that was exactly what happened with him. Like, I think a lot of people's opinions on that story were formed by whether they thought he was kind of a douche or not.
Which most of the time was based just on, like, how he looked.
Yeah, it was not, like, anything that he... Like, he actually comes off very well. And you know, like, that's because, obviously, the documentarian is sympathetic to him. But I think... But he also is given a lot of time to sort of just speak off the cuff. And he comes off well in the story. And it's just, you know, it's an interesting political documentary about the current state of surveillance in the U.S.
How's J-Lo in it?
She is banging.
Whoa,
banging. Okay, wow, you made it through that whole recommendation.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend a current movie called Faults.
In Our Stars.
Nope. That's for another podcast. This podcast, I'm recommending a movie called Faults. Now, Faults is a, I guess, a thriller.
Of the black, non-erotic variety?
Non-erotic. Maybe a black comedy. I don't know. It stars a cast of primarily character actors and Mary Elizabeth Winstead. It's about a cult deprogrammer who has received some level of notoriety, and he's kind of down on his luck, and he takes a he takes a job from some parents who are nervous that their daughter has been who has fallen into a dangerous cult, and he takes the job to deprogram her. And the movie is, it has a twist at some point, and I don't actually think that totally works, but it manages to do such a great job and such great character work from Leland Orser that I think it's a good watch.
Mm-hmm. Fine, okay. Swiss watch, Elliot.
I am going to recommend a movie super quick. I haven't gotten to see too much lately. And to be honest, the movie that stuck with me the most is a movie that Stuart recommended on a, I think, maybe the last episode, a previous episode at the very least, yeah. Which was It Follows.
Yeah. Followed you home and then to the movie theater where you watched it. My recommendation, that is.
Yep. And then it followed me to now when it's a movie I've thought about a lot since I saw it. It really captivated me and captured me when I was watching it and stuck with me afterwards. And I thought it was just really, really good. And is already early in the running for maybe my favorite movie of the year. Although, again, we're only in the first third of the year. But that being said, it's my favorite movie of the first third of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So at the risk of sounding repetitive and redundant and like a big old copycat mimic starring that would be the
Mira
the,
Sorvino.
Mira Sorvino and Sigourney
Cockroach
Weaver
Man.
In Copycat Mimic. It's a combination of Copycat and Mimic where what's the name of the singer? Harry Connick Jr. Yeah. is pretending to be a giant man. Cockroach. I'm going to recommend It Follows.
All right. Unprecedented. A copycat mimic recommendation.
I mean, you can place the blame on the effect later. That movie had on me and that I haven't seen that many movies since then.
Yeah, and your baby, who is the reason you haven't seen that many movies.
It's the main reason I haven't seen that many movies.
You can blame it on the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
on Rio, too.
Yep. Yeah, we could do
they
that.
Made a sequel?
Blame it on Rio 2. Michael Caine has sex with another underage girl.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys.
I thought that was the one with the cartoon birds.
That's just called Rio. So Blame It on Rio is about Michael Caine having sex with a cartoon bird. Blame It on Madagascar.
Mm-hmm. So guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Thank you all for listening. For the Flophouse, I've been Dan McCoy.
Yeah, you have. I'm Stuart Wellington.
For Squarespace, I'm Elliot Kalin.
Good night, everyone.
Check. Check, please. Just the check.
I have it right here.
No dessert.
As you'll see, I comped a few of your items. The Gino's pizza rolls. Totally on the house, sir.
Thank you. I mean, I brought those, and then you just heated them up in the microwave.
The DiGiorno's pizza that was not delivered to you. Wink. We delivered it to you. That was also comped.
Thank you. Much appreciated. What's this here where it says Magnum, $100?
Okay. So have you ever had a ice cream bar called a Magnum?
No, I'm not familiar with
well,
it.
Well, I charged you so I could eat it, and it was delicious.
I don't understand how your restaurant works.
I don't either. I don't own it. I am just a waiter.
Brian, spring is sprung.
Spring is sprung, which means throwing shade is here.
We are.
It's here every season.
We've been here every season, yeah. But now we're here again.
If you don't know what we do, we take a look at lady issues and gay issues, and we treat them with much less respect than they deserve, and we do it every week.
It's politics, it's comedy, it's absurdity, it's...
A lot of hairstyles.
Oh, so many hairstyles.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just in your head, picture people with a bunch of wigs on, talking smack, and smoking dope.